important day of your life. I remember years ago when I heard the word of God and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. I was looking for a way out of hell. I was looking for a way to be saved from eternal fire. Little did I know, not only would I be saved from hell, but I would receive one blessing after the other from the God of the Bible, and I would do it through faith and patience in my life. That same faith by which I received the promise of eternal life, that same faith has helped me, listen, to receive many other promises from Almighty God. And you have that opportunity today. It's offered to the world, and it's offered to you, and it's a wonderful thing. Now, I'm motoring through my 52nd year of serving here in Scranton Revival Baptist Church. I'm motoring through my 46th year as being the pastor of this church, and I've received many promised blessings from the God of this Bible, and I did it through faith and patience. And that is the way that you receive blessings from God, through faith and patience. And that's how you're going to inherit the promises of God. No other way. And I'm thinking today of a man that was a deacon in our church, a young man. And he'd gotten his life right with God, and he was walking with the Lord, and he was getting up about 5 a.m. every morning to pray. And one of the things we were believing God for during that time was a building. We didn't have a building. We were wandering in the wilderness. We were meeting in my house. We met at another church in Southside, another one at Westside. And we didn't have a building, and we wanted a building, and we prayed for a building. We got into trouble for baptizing people in the buildings where we were. The people didn't like it. We wanted a building so we could do God's will and do God's work. And so this guy would tell me, "Pastor, I've been praying. I know God's going to give us that building." You know what faith is? Faith is visualizing what God plans to do. Faith is visualizing what God intends to do. And this man, he had that faith. And he prayed, and he told me, "Pastor," and we were praying as a church. Some of us were really praying. And you know what is the sad thing about this young man? He was married, and he allowed his wife, I believe, to pull him away from the church at that time. And he was pulled away from prayer for that building. And you know what? When he left, just a couple months later, we got this building. We got this building, and we got all the furniture in it, and we got the pianos and everything for no money down. It was an amazing answer to prayer. It was a blessing of God, and this building is here today as a testament to a blessing that that guy had part of. But guess what? He gave it up. He failed to be here to get the reward of our faith, and we got this building through faith and patience. Now, here's what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10:35. It says, "Cast not away your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward." Now watch this. "For ye have need of" what? "Patience, that after you've done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." Now, God says you need faith to get the promises, but you need patience to inherit those promises. You know, everything is instant today. I turn on the hot water and I get hot water just like that. Put something in the microwave, you get it just like that. But the Bible says, nope, it takes time to build an oak tree. It takes time to grow an oak tree. And you need patience to get the promises of God. You know what? One of the things I heard a preacher say years ago, he said, "My secret to success and why I've seen so much blessing from God in my church, in my city," he said, "I have outlive my enemies. I have outlived my enemies." And that is done through faith and patience. And when it comes to faith and patience, the Bible will give you an illustration and people in the Old Testament so that you can follow their example. And I'd like to go to Joshua chapter 14 to do that this morning, verses 6 through 15. And you're shown a good example of somebody, listen, who inherited God's promises for his life through faith and patience. That man's name is Caleb. I named my youngest son Brian Caleb Bloom. And the name Caleb means bold in faith. Bold in faith. And I wonder, do you have that faith? And Caleb had that faith. Now, you say, how can I inherit God's promised blessings for my life? Well, number one, it's by God's promises. Joshua 14:7 says, and tell that the 10 spies, let me read it again. Joshua 14:7, let me read it right now, right out of the Bible. It says this, 40 years old, Caleb said, when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Now, don't miss that. What did he say? He was sent to spy out the land of Israel, the promised land. And he was sent and he saw giants in the land. He saw great enemies in the land. And he was sent out with 11 other spies, and only one other spy had it in his heart what he had. And the other 10 spies, they all said, oh, it's a great land. There's milk and honey. There's fruit in this land. It's a wonderful place to live. The problem is there's these huge giants like Goliath in the land. We can't take this land. These people will crush us. They will kill us. And so this man said, I brought back Moses what was in mine heart. What was in his heart? Yeah, there are giants in the land, but God is bigger than the giants. God is greater than the giants. God's word is true, and if he made a promise that that land is ours, it doesn't matter if there are mountains in our way, God will move the mountain. God will do what he said in his word. He said that was in his heart. Now, do you have faith in your heart? A lot of people have faith in their head. They believe that God is real. They have faith in their head that Jesus Christ died and rose again. But they don't have it in their heart. I went the other day to visit a guy up in Oliphant that sold gold coins. His name was Alan. He said to me, I went to this Baptist church, pastor, and he said, I went there to bring my kids there, and I would kind of listen as they were teaching them kids, Bible for the kids. And he said, I believe there was a Jesus Christ. I believe there is a Bible. I believed all that. He said, but I'd read this old Bible with the these and the thous, the old King James Bible. It didn't really make any sense to me. I believed it, but I really couldn't understand it. It wasn't real in my own life. And he said, but I kept going there. He said, then one day, I was there for maybe 1 year or year and a half. He said, one day the pastor came up to me. He said, hey, Alan, are you really going to heaven? He said, well, I guess so. I guess so. He wasn't sure. I wonder where you are. Do you know for sure you're going to heaven based on the promise of God? And he said, He said, the pastor said to me, you know, you can hear about Jesus and hear about God, but have you personally made a decision to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior from hell and take you to heaven? He said, it's like getting married. You have to make that commitment to trust Jesus yourself. Somebody else can't do it for you. You need to do it. He said, after the pastor said that, he went home and he thought to himself, you know what? I'm not sure I've done that for myself. And he went to God and he went to the Lord Jesus. He said, though I haven't seen you, I know you died on the cross, you were buried, you rose again. I don't want to die and go to hell. I'm putting my faith in you, Jesus, to save me. Have you done that? You know, the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. But have you trusted him in your heart? People know about him in their head. They believe in him in their head. But they haven't staked their life on it. They haven't depended upon Jesus to save them. Have you had it in your heart and been saved through faith in your heart? And that is so important. I'd like you to look at verse 9 of chapter 14. I'll read it. It says, Moses sware on that day, saying, surely, this is to Caleb, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. Now the 10 spies that went with Caleb, they died in the wilderness. They never got into the promised land. Caleb got into the promised land. The Bible says there are a lot of people that know about Jesus. They know that he lived, he died, he rose again, but they've never gotten married. They've never said, I do. There are people living together today with people, they're not married to them. There's no claim they have really on them. Marriage is what you need. And when you trust Jesus Christ, he says, you can now live with me. You will live in my heaven. You can count on it because I keep my promise. And you have believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. That is the promise of God. And by the way, if you haven't done that today and you're here in this church service, going to church, watching what's going on here, hearing a sermon, going to the picnic, that's not going to get you in heaven, no more than living with a person and having intimacy with a person that you're not married to means that God is for that and in that. No, he's not. In fact, it says whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. You are headed for judgment. You can count on it. The Bible says it. And if you haven't trusted Jesus Christ in your heart to save you from that lifestyle and to give you a new life, then yes, you will wind up in hell someday and you will never be able to change the consequence of the failure to receive by faith the promise of God. I'm saying that the promises of God are inherited by faith. And then that leads to patience to receive more blessings and promises. Let me tell you something. This world is getting ready to be judged. When you see what's going on in the Middle East with Iran attacking Israel, this is Bible prophecy getting ready to unfold further. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ is coming back. And when he comes back, he destroyed the world one time by water. And Noah announced to people, unless you get in this ark, you're not going to be saved. And the whole world, the highest mountain was flooded by water. Everybody died. Do you know how many? There were billions of people in the world in that day. Only 8 people were saved. The Bible says, Jesus says it's going to happen again. We're getting very close to the day of the Lord. And the Lord's going to come back. He's going to rescue his people out of here, but he's going to judge this world. Unless you have faith in Jesus Christ in your heart. And you know what Alan said to me? He said, when, Pastor, when I had that faith, when I made that commitment to trust Christ, he said, that very next day, he said, I said, I'm going to open this King James Bible. And I started reading the these and the thous. He said, you know what? It made sense to me. You know why? Because when you get saved, the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ lives inside of you. You don't need a modern Bible. You just need the old time being saved by Jesus. Faith and patience will inherit God's promised blessings in your life. You know, I remember as a young guy, I was in this church and I was helping our pastor, who was a young guy, Charles Ware. And the pastor had to go to Jamaica to preach a conference there. And he said, Bloom, he called me Boom or Bloom. He said, Boom, would you preach for me? I said, yeah, I'll preach for you. And then he was going away and I said, what am I going to preach? I began to look in the Bible and pray. And I was led to Joshua chapter 1. And I was led to a verse and here's what it said. Have not I commanded thee? Question mark. Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Now, I was a scared, I was going to say, that's not a word, but I was a scared to stand up in front of people and preach like I'm doing right now. Scared out of my mind. You know why I was scared? Because I didn't know if God wanted me to do that, and I didn't want to do something in my own strength. And I was praying, God, do you want me to be a preacher or not? I'd gone to Bible college. I thought maybe he did, but I said, God, I really need to know this if I'm going to give my life to being a preacher full time. Do you want me to go or not? And as I'm reading the Bible to get this message ready, the words, have not I commanded thee, stood out. Question mark. And it was like God was saying to me what he said to Joshua, didn't I command you? Aren't I telling you to preach? If it's me telling you, what are you afraid of? He said, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. And you know what? I got it and I said, man, God, you're with me. And the pastor came back and I told him what God showed me. And you know what? God showed me through that he wanted me to be the pastor of this church. And just a few years later, I had to go to Florida for a year and a half because my wife was sick, and I managed some apartments so that she could be on one floor. And while I was down there, I had a job as a teacher in a Christian school. I was a youth pastor. Just a year and a half, Charles Ware, the pastor of this church, called me. He said, "Boom." He said, "I believe God's going to bless in two places, but I believe God's calling me to Washington, D.C. to pastor. Would you consider candidating to pastor Scranton Revival Baptist Church?" Well, I said yes. And the rest is history. They voted me in. I became the pastor of this church. And I have seen that I left West Palm Beach, Florida, right near Mar-a-Lago. I left a beautiful place where we had fruit trees growing in January, and you could pick the fruit right in front of my place where I lived. I lived free of charge. It was great. But God was calling me to come back to Scranton. And I've inherited blessings here by not only doing what God showed me by faith, but by staying here all of this time. You know why many people don't have the blessings? They never believe God's word in their heart. You know why many people don't have the blessings? If they do believe God's word, it's temporary. They give it up. They give it up. They don't stay put, right? Right, Brother Joe? They don't stay put. How many people have we seen leave, Brother Joe, and miss out like that deacon did before the blessing of God comes? You need to bury yourself where God has you and stay put. Faith and patience will inherit the blessings by God's promises. Number two, by God's preservation. I want you to look with me at verse 10. I'll read it. It says, "And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 40 and 5 years old. That's 85 years old. A score is 20. So 4 scores, 4 times 20, 80 and 5, 85 years of age. Now listen. Do you know when you believe in Jesus Christ, he preserves you? Not only are you saved by his promises and blessed by his promises, but now the Lord himself preserves you. And he preserves your faith. The faith that you have is preserved by the Lord. He's praying. He told Apostle Peter, he said, "Peter, I am praying that your faith fail not." If the Lord didn't pray for you, your faith would fail. Did you hear me? You say, "I can't make it, Pastor. There are too many enemies. I got too many problems this morning. You don't know all the things I think about when I'm away." That's your problem. You think too much and read this Bible too little. Your problem is you think too much and you hear too little of what God said. He preserves your faith in the Word of God. And if you have the faith in your heart of the Son of God, then you can know that Jesus keeps that faith alive in your life. Jesus said to his apostles, he said, "All these people are turning away from me." He said, "Will you guys go away too?" And Peter said, "To whom else shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." If you really have the true faith of Jesus Christ that gets you to heaven, he will preserve that faith in you. And he'll preserve you, listen, through that faith from going back to the world. Remember, they wanted to go back to Egypt. They couldn't. He'll preserve you from going back to the world. He'll preserve you from going, listen, back to a fake religion. He'll preserve you from it. And some of you here that are trying to sleep and tune out, God help you to wake up. God help you to wake up, because you need that work of God in your life. And I'm just saying that's what God will do in your life. He'll preserve you until you get to where you're going to go. The Bible says this: "Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Do you know what he's talking about there when he says unto salvation? He's not talking about being saved from hell. He's talking about final salvation. When the Lord comes back and lifts us out of this world, when Jesus Christ comes back, he is going to lift his people out of this world. It's going to be an airlift. You say, who's going to fly me out of here if I'm saved? Angels! And you say, how am I going to go up into outer space and go into heaven? He's going to change your body so that you will be able to survive outer space. You won't be able to die. You say, oh, that sounds too ridiculous. It sounds too amazing. Well, listen, he raised Jesus Christ from the dead, and he can do it in your life. And if you're a believer, you are now being kept from the devil, from the world, from going back on the Lord by the power of God. But that power is released in your life through faith. Now listen to me, and listen to me well this morning. Faith looks outside of yourself. It looks to Jesus. And if you are looking to yourself to save yourself, you don't have faith. The Bible says, Jesus said, look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be ye saved. There's life for a look at Jesus Christ, and faith is a look at Jesus. And the Bible says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. How many have ever seen an envelope that was sealed, like with a wax seal on it? Yeah. And that's to see if you break that seal, somebody broke in there. The Bible says that when you're saved, God gives you his Holy Spirit, and that's a seal that protects you so the devil can't get at you and take your salvation. And you're sealed until the day Jesus Christ comes back with the Holy Spirit. He'll never leave you or forsake you. You might grieve him and make him sad, and he withdraws his influence, but he's never going to leave you. Child of God, and he won't totally withdraw his influence in your life. He'll convict you until you get right with God. If you're truly saved and you're living in sin, you need to get right with God and get down to the altar and make it right. Simply that. Because that is a proof that God is preserving you. And he said, Caleb said, you have preserved me. Listen, for 45 years, he had 80 funerals a day when others that didn't have that faith in their heart, they died all around him. They were Israelites, but they weren't true believers. And they died, and they didn't get into the promised land. And just like many people die and go to hell, even though they are around us and they don't believe in Jesus, if you're a true believer, he'll preserve you, he'll keep you, and he'll keep you, listen to me, in a state of grace. A state of grace is where he keeps you praying, reading the Bible, hearing the Word of God, and repenting of sin in your life and walking with God. That's what he does to true believers. He preserves you spiritually. Hey, listen, he may even preserve you physically. Look at verse number 11 of Joshua 14. It says, and as yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now listen, he preserved him for 45 years. Even physically, he took care of him because God had a promise for Caleb. And that promise he gave him when he was 40 years old. Now the guy is 85 years old. But to get that promise, he had to fight for it. Do you know that your faith means that you have to fight? Do you know that faith will cause you to fight what your flesh wants you to do, what the devil wants you to do, and you will decide, I'm going to do what God wants me to do? Faith does that. And Caleb, in order to fight, he had claimed a mountain for God, and in order to fight, he had to drive out the Anakims, and they were like Goliath. You heard of David killing Goliath. He had like tons of Goliaths up there, and he's 85. He said, I'm just as strong now as I was when I was 40. You know who gave him that strength? God. You know what? I've been here for many years. I still have the strength to fight. I still have the strength to possess the promises that God has given me. But I needed faith and patience. Patience means you keep believing, you keep staying, you keep on keeping on, and God will come through and you will get the promises of God. Others will leave, others will walk away, some will die, but God will keep you going so that you can get the promises of Almighty God. It is His divine providence that does that. Hey, remember when we had COVID? A lot of people took those jabs. Remember that? Maybe you took those jabs. There were four of them at least. Some people took one, two, three. A lot of people are dying from those jabs. They put poison in the body and they believed the lie and they took those jabs and they're dying of those jabs. Now listen to me. If you took the jab, I'm praying for you that you don't die. But I'm saying that was very harmful to your body. Just like if you're smoking cigarettes and drinking alcohol and taking drugs, it's harmful to your body. Now you say, Pastor, why do you tell people that? Because I want to have them preserved physically. God saves your soul, but He wants you to take care of your body. If you abuse your body when you're young, it will beat you back when you're old. And so Caleb, you see, he was believing God, and he was patiently following the Lord, and God protected him and took care of him. And now when it came time, as an older person, he had the strength to fight for God. You know what? If I don't have the strength to fight for God, why am I here? Now I know people get older and they lose a lot of their strength, but they can still fight in prayer. I talked to my mother, and she didn't take the jab. My mother's 93. She's been through some health challenges, but my mother's still praying. She's praying for me this morning. You need to fight by faith. And God will preserve you spiritually for sure. You'll be kept, and He may preserve you physically. And I'll tell you a good example to me of Caleb. When God called me, He called me to be a Joshua and to help His people inherit blessings. But you know what I believe the Caleb is in this church? Deacon Joe Slobodnik. And I think of Deacon Joe Slobodnik, when that COVID thing hit, he got it. Many of us got it. But it tried to damage his body. But guess what? We prayed and God saw him through. Don't do something stupid, listen to me, to cut your life short. Don't do something stupid to cut your life short. Because God has a plan for your life. And through faith and patience, you can inherit the promises and the blessings of Almighty God. And one of my kids said to me one time, Dad, I believe that the Lord may preserve you alive until the second coming of Jesus Christ in the rapture. Well, I'm not sure, but I would like to be here at the rapture. How about you? If I'm here at the rapture, it's only because God would preserve me alive. But we're going to go through much tribulation. But listen, if you're in the will of God, nothing can stop you. And even if you give your life and you die before the rapture, if you're saved, God will raise your body back up and you won't miss it. I'm just saying that God, number one, He gives you promises, and through faith and patience you can inherit blessings through the promises of God. Number two, you'll do it by God's preserving you, God's preservation. And last, by your possessing what God has for you. Look at verse 12 of chapter 14. Here's what Caleb said when he was 85 to Joshua. He says, "Now therefore give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then he says, I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said." You know what? He wanted to fight giants. He wanted a mountain, not something easy. You know why? Because his faith looked outside of his own strength to the Lord, and he received strength to win victories. Are you walking by faith? Faith has the foundations, Jesus Christ and the Word of God. That's the foundation for my salvation. I've trusted that. I know I'm saved. I'm 100% sure, unless God lied, and I don't believe he lied. I've got a foundation for my faith. But wait a minute. I'm called upon every day to step out in faith and walk by faith. Now, when you walk by faith, guess what? You're walking on the impossible. Remember when Peter got outside the boat? He was walking on the water. Is it possible to walk on the water? Not in your own strength. He was walking on the water because he was stepping out in faith. Faith has feet. But then the winds came and the waves came, and Peter started looking at them, and he failed to fight by faith the doubt by looking back to Jesus and away from the wind. You have to fight by faith. And he says you've got to fight against doubt and unbelief, being strong in your faith, giving glory to God. And when you do that, you'll be able to possess promises, blessings that God has for you. You know what? Brother Joe and I have prayed for revival, and I believe we're going to see it. We've prayed that we would reach our Jerusalem from all the way from Carbondale to Wilkes-Barre, all the way from Moscow to Tunkhannock. I had a lady in my Sunday school class. She said, "Pastor, I got people from Tunkhannock want to come." I had the bus captain down in Wilkes-Barre say, "Preacher, we had people turned away. We couldn't get them. We've got more people than we can get. We're reaching Carbondale, Scranton." Say, how you doing it? By stepping out in faith. Are you faith-driven? Are you living your life by faith? The Bible says the just shall live by faith. And if you're not doing that, check it out. Do you have the foundation of Jesus Christ as your Savior? Then you need to have him as your Savior so you don't die and go to hell. And once you have his, your Savior, you need to step out and keep walking with him by faith. The only way you can follow him is take each step by faith. And as you do that, you're going to inherit blessings. But you stay with it. Don't quit. Don't stop. Stay with it. And the last verse I have is in Hebrews. And he says there in Hebrews, and this is a true promise that I'll read to you as the last thing here. He says this. He says, "If so be that the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out." And then he said in Hebrews chapter 10 that we are not of them that draw back, but we believe to the saving of the soul. If somebody gives up the faith, then they never had it in the first place. And they need to get it like Alan, so they can have the Holy Spirit and they can inherit the promises of God. Make sure this morning that you do not leave here without having that commitment of faith to Jesus Christ in your own heart. Don't look at the person to your left or right. You look at the Lord. And he'll save you. Let's bow for prayer, every head bowed, every eye closed. We've been talking about inheritance.